Good morning, church. Lots of new things. Lots of new lights and stuff. And these guys work till late to patch holes in the wall. All that good stuff. But there's something else that's new, and that's God's mercies. They're new every morning, are they not? Welcome to everybody. And it is a joy to be here this third Sunday of Advent. We're looking at joy. This is a busy season for a lot of people. I appreciate that prayer and also the scripture reading. Today's message is Christ in Christmas time. I'm not big into titles or choosing them. I ask God, what is it you have? What is it you would like for people to know? What is it you want me to know first and foremost? What's the message I need to live in before I have something to offer? And a lot of times it doesn't have a title. I would love to say, and so what's the title, you know? And so that kind of comes out of looking at it, or others help with that. I don't know. I just know one thing, that if I could put something there as a subtitle, it would be, you know, Christ at Christmas, I had no idea. Okay? But anyway, today's message, it's an intriguing thing. Let's look at the notes this morning and jump into it, okay? Number one, the birth of Christ was prophesied all over the Old Testament, from Genesis to Isaiah. It's everywhere, okay? Malachi 5:2 actually even says the birthplace would be Bethlehem. It's that specific, okay? It made no sense. No sense that that would be the spot, okay? Up until this time, the only action that's ever been seen in Bethlehem was the birth of King David. That was it, okay? But that was the prophecy the Bible said. Number two, the Dead Sea Scrolls, found in 1947-ish, okay? But written 200 years before the birth of Christ, okay? They confirm the truth of the Bible and the prophecies of Christmas and of Christ, and nobody can argue against it, all right? This was before Jesus, before he died on the cross, before everything, okay? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love the Dead Sea Scrolls. Do some research on that. Christians went nuts when those things were found. It was so exciting to see what was there, okay? Last week, he's come, he is here. This week, I would like for you to see this season through the eyes of the Father. Specifically this week, a lot of discovery through stuff I have read plenty of times, okay? I've never taught on what I'm about to teach on today. It had to teach my heart first. I have literally found some things that just kind of exploded there. But let's begin with the verse, John 3:16, okay? For God so loved the world, you guys know this, right? That he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is no question that God loves us. He sent his Son to die for us, as we heard in this prayer earlier, a sinless man to pay for the sins of everybody in this room. Entire world, okay? And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. But here's what I would say about that. To prove that God loves us, I would not send my Son to die for anyone. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Here's a picture of my two boys, okay? I'm a blessed man. I spend much of my time praying that my sons won't even get hurt. I am. I spend a lot of time praying that they'll be free from injury. We're in the emergency room every other month around here. I wouldn't send him to get hurt for someone. I just wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. For God to do that, prove that we are loved. I mean, beyond any human capacity, anything that I've got, okay? Beyond that. Anything that I have. Look at Isaiah 9:6, okay? Isaiah 9:6. A verse that is read a lot this time of the year, okay? By the way, this was written 700 years before Jesus. Holy cow. 700 years before. Okay? Look at the detail. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. These are two different things. These are two beautiful, different things. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is a beautiful place where God makes a distinction here, okay, about Jesus. And very clearly this is made. Here's what it is. He says, unto us, the human race, a child was given, okay? Baby Jesus is born, but from him, a son was given. And a son that was pre-existent, okay? A son that had never sinned, a son who he had never been separated from, ever, ever, ever. Always with him. God says, I want you to know my perspective on this. There's a big distinction there. To the human race, a child was born. From me, my son was given. Have you ever read it that way before? I mean, literally looked at both there. It's a major thing, folks, and we should see it, okay? And I've asked my son to come up here, and what we're going to do, which I think can kind of help us see this, hopefully, is take a look at the way things used to be, possibly. You know, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they always have been. They always will be. They've known everything. They know everything. And they've seen everything even before, the Bible tells us, it came to be. So here's what things could have looked like before you and I were even brought out, before you and I were even on this earth, and they looked at how things were going to look with people, and they mapped things out before time.
They're not going to make it, are they, Father?
No, son, they're not. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory.
Someone's got to pay for them. Want me to do it?
Yes, my son.
Yes, Jesus. I'd like for you to do it.
You're going to be with me. Do the whole thing. Right?
No. I'm not. I'm going to be with you through a lot of it. But there's a time where we're going to be separated. And I can't be there. Are you still willing?
I'm willing.
It's a pretty big distinction. It's a pretty big thing in the eyes of God, or he wouldn't have said it. Okay? And I love that he gave us that perspective, guys. The reality is that we have to know that God loves us. Folks, if anyone here doubts that God loves us, you don't ever doubt it again. Okay? Don't ever doubt it again. However, sometimes we don't understand what's going on around us. Sometimes we don't understand our purpose, what is happening in our life, literally. Okay? I'm going through it right now. There are things we just don't understand. What is God's purpose for us? We understand he loves us. We got that down. Sometimes there's just that what's the purpose of this happening right now? I don't get it. And some of you may be wondering that today. I get that I'm loved, but the other part I don't. And this has led me to what I feel like God wants in the rest of today's message. I've never spoke on this before in my life, and I'm actually experiencing this right there with everyone. We're going to look at several people in the Christmas story where the Bible tells of it. There are characters dropped into the story, most of which are very unusual people, okay? Why in the world he would include them in the Christmas story, I don't know. They're not kings. They're not prime ministers. There's nothing huge about these names and these characters. They're just regular people, most of which we don't even talk about except maybe in Christmas carols, okay? But why are they in here? And let's see what God's going to show us, okay? These folks you're going to see, they loved God, okay? They were good Hebrew people. They loved God, and they knew God loved them. And you're about to see that there came a point in every one of their lives when they could have wondered, just like we do, God, what is the purpose of what's going on right here? What is happening right now, okay? Do you have a plan for me with this thing that's going on? You know, God, I love you, but I just don't actually see what your plan is. Let's start with Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Take a look at that, okay? Let's see if you got that. Yeah, great, okay? The angel of the Lord appeared to him, and we're talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, okay? He was startled, it says, and who was the angel? Anyone know? The angel Gabriel, that's right. Gripped with fear, okay? It says, terror. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're to call him John. He's going to be a joy and a delight to you." Okay, and then he goes on to describe the mission. And immediately, as Zechariah is hearing this in fear, he begins to separate what's being told to him and immediately goes to his current present situation. "I am an old man. My wife is elderly too." Look at verse 18. "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife's along in years as well." It's not exactly something you say back to Gabriel. And he turned around, and what happened? The angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Verse 20. "Now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens." You guys catch that? Okay? Here's the point. Here's this Zacharias. He was troubled, gripped with fear, the Bible says. He was then told that he and his elderly wife were going to have a baby, of all things. Okay? And he was then told he wouldn't even be able to speak for 9 months until the baby came. "God, I know you love me, and I love you. This is rough. Can't even talk. Think of all that's going on. What's the purpose of this? What's the plan?" Not even able to say those words, right? Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Okay? Here's another one. Shepherds, we heard earlier, the Sabaker family was reading. There were shepherds, verse 8, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. Catch that? Okay? Freaking out. completely terrified. Okay? The commentaries on this really describe the shepherds well here. Okay? They were obviously regular folks, lower income jobs, socially didn't even fit in well. In fact, some cities ceremonially said these guys are unclean altogether. They weren't even allowed in certain cities just as a result of what they do and the job that they had in many places. Yet here they are in the Bible working at night. Sound familiar? Any of you guys work nights, right? Cold, low pay, working out in a field, scared to death by an angel, okay? Times a million. All of them showed up, right? Yet here they are in the Bible. They could have said to God, "We know you love us, and we love you. This is rough. What is going on? We don't get it. What do you mean, Bethlehem? We got a job going on, freaking out. What's going on?" Luke 2, 36 and 37. Beautiful woman. The prophet Anna, the Bible says, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher, she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, okay? And then she was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna was 84 years old, and she had been widowed for 50 to 60 years. Think about that for a minute, okay? She had no outside life whatsoever. She lived on the temple grounds. Guys, back in those days, that was rough, okay? An 84-year-old lady living in this old temple. Clearly, clearly rough. Anna could have said, "God, I know you love me, and I love you, but this is long. This is hard. What's going on? What's this all about?" And last, look at Matthew 1:19 and Luke 2:4 as well. The story of Joseph and Mary. And Mary was pregnant before she was married. Y'all know this, okay? This was a social disaster in that day. This was a huge deal, okay? Let's look at the verse here. First of all, Matthew 1:19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He planned a divorce. This was what was going on, okay? Very serious stuff. This is a very young couple. This is his plan. You fast forward, an angel, an obedience, and a plan. But listen to this, Luke 2:4. So Joseph also went out from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to that house and lineage. The census was called. This is a young couple right here. Take a look. Just as young as it gets, okay? Here's the thing. Very, very young. Socially criticized. She was 9 months pregnant. Ladies, get this, okay? She had to get on a donkey and ride 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Did you catch that? 70 miles, 9 months pregnant on a donkey. There was no 405, no 710, no PCH. Probably looked like the Trans Catalina at best, okay? 70 miles. Ours is barely 40, okay? From end to end down here. Unbelievable. They could have clearly said, "You know, Father, we love you, and we know you love us. This is rough. We only see parts of what this looks like. That's all we know." And folks, there may be some of you in here that only see part of something. You don't see the whole picture. I'm right there with you. Something halfway is shown to you. Well, check this out. Let's look at this verse right here, Jeremiah 29:11. I love this verse. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And a future. Later on in Matthew, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. God knows the plans. He knows the plans. I know them, he says. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. That's the deal. We're not without plans. We're not without a purpose. God has them for us. And it's up to us to walk in them. It's up to us to walk in them. Folks, God not only loves us and sent his son for us, but he also has plans for us. It may be a daily thing, just staying in the daily walk. Literally, what is it for me today? What does today look like? Bigger things are coming, but today, just get me through today. I need today. It may be a daily thing. Then again, it may be weekly. Or even a bigger picture. Maybe you're looking at a career move. Whatever, okay? God knows the plans. And folks, make sure you're seeking God with all your heart. And it's very rare that we do that. Very, very rare. Very rare. I mean, even for me. I get comfy and I get cozy, start floating along, and then I wonder, boom, what happened? What is happening, okay? My own kids. Own family. What is going on? I get that way. When you seek me and you search for me with all your heart, then you'll find me. Then you'll know what's going on. And many of you do, actually. Many of you do. Many of you are seeking him. Many of you are praying. And many of you are hearing from him. Okay? There are great stories of ministry surrounding this church and our other campus with what God is doing. People are changing hearts. Kids are showing up. Ministries are happening. But don't tell me we didn't have a valley to go through somewhere along the line, right? Daily, and things can get hard. What's happening? But trusting that he has the plans. Staying in the message. But some of you are. And the community is being reached, and it's a beautiful thing, okay? But let's go back to the how for a minute. To the people who understood the love, but not the purpose, okay? All right, let's go back just for a second. Let's take a look at our pictures. Here's our elderly couple. Here's Elizabeth right here, and here's Zechariah. And baby John, okay? Tough situation. Their senior years told you're going to have a baby. Him doubting it and now being said, now you're not going to speak for 9 months, right? Let's go to the next one. Regular folks, low income, working at night, shepherds, terrified, in the middle of nowhere, angels everywhere. Here's what I want you to do. Let's go to the next one. 50 to 60 years, a widow, faithfully serving daily, every day, living in the temple. 84 years of age, okay? There's Anna right there. Look at our last one here. A very, very young couple. Very young. A pregnant, out of wedlock, social disaster, criticized by family. 70-mile journey. On a trail, on a donkey. And a husband who has no idea where this ending place will be other than Bethlehem. All right? Let me show you how this ends today. Guys, I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to these people. I cannot wait to get to heaven to interview these guys, okay? We're in the Christmas story. Who God put in the Bible. And God put nothing in the Bible that we were not supposed to see. All right? Nothing is in there that we were not supposed to see and really get. Okay? I can't wait to talk to these folks. Do you know that they will be surrounded and escorted by angels all over the place up there? They already are. That they're not afraid of anymore. It's pretty cool. They're not afraid of them anymore. They'll be thrilled to be there. We'll get to see what they say. And let me just mention this. Some of you guys do this as a family already. If not, I challenge you that here in this Christmas season to read the Christmas story. Hit it in Matthew. Go to Luke 2, whatever. But read it. Read it as a family. Read it. Read it to yourself. Take some time. Really dive into the message. Look to see these characters and what was going on. Spend time with it, okay? You know what Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to say to you and I when we greet them in heaven? You know what they're going to say? They'll say, "Pastor Andrew, we had no idea that our son was going to grow up to be John the Baptist. We had no idea. But Jesus himself said, quote, there was no greater man born on the earth than our son." Can you believe that? God had a plan for us. We just had no idea. Next, the shepherds, regular folks. And when we see them, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, God chose them. Regular folks. Here it is. They were the first people on the planet to witness the birth of Christ. Regular folks. In the city of Bethlehem, he had a plan for them the entire time. They would be the first. Regular folks. The first witnesses ever. Beautiful plan. No clue. And Anna. Oh my gosh, we get to see Anna. You know what she's going to say? This lady who gave it all to the Lord. Okay? Folks, read it in your Bible. That Anna was the first one chosen by God to witness the birth in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple, the first one in all of Jerusalem. Thousands gathered there. She got to see him first, a place that she had never left. Okay? She would say, God had a plan for me. I had no idea. And finally, Mary and Joseph, you know what they'd say? God had a plan for us. We had never dreamed. We alone were the people that he chose to be the parents of Jesus Christ. God had a plan. We just didn't know it. We had no idea. The Jesus Christ to be the parents, the earthly parents. Now there's one more person we need to ask about his decision to come at Christmas, okay? Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. And this is in your notes, I believe. Okay? John 6, 38 through 40. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Unto you, me, a son was given." You know, guys, that God loves us. If you ever doubted it, you just think of this Christmas story, okay? He has great plans for us too. He didn't just plan for Jesus to save our souls. He sent Jesus to be our leader, okay? And our guide through life itself, not just to save us. He has plans for us, for everyone in here, godly plans, for whatever stage of life you may be. You may be very senior-like, like some of our couples in here. Or you may be very, very young, like some of them, okay? You may feel like you're just a regular person. But socially, you are not where you ought to be. You're just like them. God put them in the Bible for us to learn from. Right? So we can relate to them. He didn't just drop Anna's name in one verse for no other reason. God put them in there, and man, did he have a plan. Did he have a plan for you and I? You know what a great gift it would be to give God? To give Jesus, his son? If you said yes today. You know what, God? I've not been seeking you with all my heart through Jesus. I haven't been. I know I haven't been. And this Christmas today, I want to make a change to search for you, find you, because I'm going to seek you with all my heart. That's a gift. No other gift like that one to give. Okay? No other one. And folks, it's a daily thing. It's just a daily thing. Daily. Okay? Communicating, giving to him, giving to him daily. John's going to play here for just a moment, and I'll tell you what, let's take a look at our summary up here, okay? Unto us a gift was born, incredible. The Old Testament prophets had no idea that God was doing such a work in their life. You can only imagine as these guys were writing this down with their pens, and they were listening to the story, okay, that at one point, they sat their pen down and said, are you kidding me? Who is this? Who is this person going to give their life? Tell us. We got to finish this. Who's the one? Can you imagine as they're writing this and they're reading this story, right? Number two, the first century witnesses had no idea that God was doing such a work in their lives. And then number three, so many of us today have no idea that God is doing such a work in our own lives. We don't even have a clue. But he is. Maybe someone spoke a kind word to you today. Or maybe last night, somebody landed a prayer on you or a text that came through and you're like, no way, you had no idea. Christmas, let's thank God for Jesus and that he loves us and for the plans he has for us. Okay? Even if you don't see him all right now, it's okay. Number five, is it time to seek the Lord with all your heart and really mean it? I know I've had to. Here's a prayer opportunity. Now offer this, okay? Here's a prayer opportunity. Maybe this morning it's thank you, God, for loving me. Because you can't offer something to someone else maybe that you haven't received yourself. You need to receive that love. Thank him for that. Number two, maybe it's help me with my purpose. I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm majoring in college. I have no idea why I'm in the job I'm in. I have no idea what's going to happen to this marriage. I have no clue. I need your plans for me. God, help me seek you. Or even more importantly, God, I'm not saved. I don't even know where my soul is going to spend eternity. I need Jesus. Opportunity's there. Whatever it is, take time to come and pray. I'll be down here. I'd love to pray with anybody. I had in mind that you can pray right where you're at as well, okay? God is right here. His presence is here. We welcomed him into the sanctuary. He is right here. And you can spend time with him right where you're at. But if you need someone to pray with you, I'd love to.